America's ready to get back to work, but to win in the new economy, you need every advantage to succeed. Smart companies run on NetSuite by Oracle, the world's number one cloud business system. With NetSuite, you'll have visibility and control over your financials, HR, inventory, e-commerce, and more. Everything you need, all in one place. Whether you're doing a million or hundreds of millions in sales, NetSuite lets you manage every penny with precision. You'll have the agility to compete with anyone, work from anywhere, and run your whole company right from your phone. Join over 20,000 companies who trust NetSuite to make it happen. NetSuite surveyed hundreds of business leaders and assembled a playbook of the top strategies they're using as America reopens for business. Receive your free guide, 7 actions businesses need to take now, and schedule your free product tour at netsuite.com/Golic. Get your free guide and schedule your free product tour right now at netsuite.com/Golic. That's netsuite.com/Golic.
Glad you're with us on a Tuesday morning. Golic and Wingo, ESPN Radio, ESPN2. As always, we are presented by Progressive Insurance and all phone guests. As you know, they join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Mike Golic, Mike Golic Jr., Trey Wingo here with you. Coming up in just a little bit, Mark DeCherel will join us to talk about the dumpster fire that is Major League Baseball right now and his strong feelings at it. We've had a discussion already this morning about what's going on in the NFL. We'll get to the NBA and what may or may not be happening when the bubble environment, we think, begins. Next month, or end of this month, actually, and all through July, and hopefully through October, through the potential Game 7 of the NBA Finals. We also got some stuff to talk about in college football, Mike Golic Jr., as we had a little situation when a picture appeared with one coach in a Power 5 conference wearing something that did not sit well with some of his players.
Yeah, Mike Gundy, a picture surfaced of him on a fishing trip wearing a shirt bearing the logo for the One America News Network. You guys can use Google and find out the information that you'd like to about that. It is billed as a very conservative news outlet. And that did not sit well with Chuba Hubbard, who took to Twitter and said, I won't stand for this. As you heard in the open there, I'm not doing any activities for Oklahoma State until there is change made here. You saw a flurry of tweets from not only him, but others like Justice Hill, some former players, some other current players, sort of echoing the sentiment in a lot of this. And so, like everything else, we chewed through all of that for a while. There was a lot of talk, and we will get to about what the players and the light bulb that has gone on right now for guys realizing their voice, but it did all roads lead to what we all figured was eventually coming, some sort of video apology.
Well, this happened quick.
Yeah. And it, you know what? It is learning, because what we're seeing here is a pattern, which we'll get to here in a second, but all of that went on, and then later in the afternoon yesterday, a video was put out from Chuba Hubbard's Twitter account with him and his head coach, Mike Gundy, releasing a joint statement, and here was that statement in response to everything that had happened.
In light of today's tweet with the t-shirt I was wearing, I've met with some players and realized it's a very sensitive issue with what's going on in today's society. And so we had a great meeting and made aware of some things that players feel like that can make our organization, our culture, even better than it is here at Oklahoma State. And I'm looking forward to making some changes, and it starts at the top with me, and we got good days ahead.
I'll start off by first saying that I went about it the wrong way by tweeting. I'm not someone that, you know, has to, you know, tweet something to break chains. I should have went to him as a man, and I'm more about action. So that was bad on my part. But from now on, we're going to focus on bringing change, and that's the most important thing.
So let the parsing begin.
Yeah. Oh, hey, it's like I'm glad we left out the sound of the uncomfortable dap and the man
by the way,
heavily
for
filming
those,
that.
For those that don't know, they were in the same room right next to one another, and didn't it feel, as the parsing begins, did it feel a bit uncomfortable?
Well, it
yes,
felt uncomfortable.
The whole thing felt uncomfortable.
The guy filming it was breathing so heavily. It was. I thought he was going to go down during the video, and that was one of my chief concerns.
Yeah, and so if you're there thinking, oh my God, it was a t-shirt, give me a break. This is not the first time Mike Gundy has talked about One America News. In fact, in an article that came out in April, this is what Gundy had to say. I was flipping through the stations, and I found one. I don't even know if anyone knows about this. It's called OAN. It's called One America News. And it was so refreshing. They just report the news. There's no commentary. There's no opinions on this. There's no left. There's no right. They just report the news. Now, if you believe that, I have a lot of land I want to sell you in certain places of the country where you won't be able to build
anything. So here's quickly the other side, because I'm sure a lot of people are going, wait a minute. Dude can wear whatever T-shirt he wants.
And that's correct.
And that's where I'm going. Yeah. And that's right. He can wear whatever T-shirt he wants. But, and you could also, First Amendment, freedom of speech, you can say things, you know, with limitations,
reason.
Obviously. Yeah. But that doesn't mean there aren't consequences by those you work for or work with that or people that who work for you that may have an issue with it. So there are consequences to it. So for those that are saying he can wear whatever shirts he wants, you're right. He can listen to whatever network he wants. You're right. He can do all of that stuff, and you can have your own opinion about that network or that shirt or any other network or any other shirt. But it affected somebody on his team who spoke up. And as we're seeing now, Mike, in college players are at a point where they have more power to speak up about things, and it rubs some people the wrong way. So just as he has a right to wear that shirt and listen to that station, the players or others may have a right to say, you know what? I know we play for you and for this school, but no. That to us crosses a line, and we're going to take some action.
Yeah, because for me, this isn't about the shirt. And like, I'm not going to take the bait with the news network. I'm not going to take the bait with the shirt and all this, because if people want to just point at that and make it a rights thing and do all that, they're going to detract from the larger point here, was Justice Hill, a former running back for Oklahoma State, tweeted out right after this and said, you guys don't see the day-to-day when someone said, oh, this is just a T-shirt, indicating there might be something more. You saw whispers and echoes of that. You know what I didn't see? And if someone finds it, they can point it out to me. But you know what I didn't see? Not a one player, current or former, coming out and saying, now Gundy's our guy. I support him. We know what's in his heart, and we know what he's about.
Because that did happen in Clemson.
Yes.
When all that about Dabo Swinney and people that had issues with the way Dabo was having things, I mean, players out of the woodwork coming out and supporting him, saying, listen, he was great. He was a great coach. He treated us great. You're absolutely right. He had almost 1,000% support on him, and you haven't heard, that's very true. You haven't heard it from Mike Gundy yet at this point.
So I'm looking at this and saying, this is the straw that broke the camel's back.
There was more than just the shirt, you're saying.
There was more than just that going on. And so it's on all of us in the media to follow up, because Mike Gundy didn't apologize for anything in that video. And plenty of people will say, well, he doesn't need to apologize for anything. He wore a shirt, yada, yada, yada. That's fine. He said, I'm looking forward to making some changes. Why? Change usually indicates there's something that you've identified as an issue that needs changing. What is that? What are the changes you are looking forward to making right now? Because you are finally forced to listen. What we're seeing in college football happen right now is twofold. Is one, you're seeing players that are all looking around one at the other and saying, this worked. Tuba Hubbard in this case saying, I didn't need to do this. No, you did, because you saw it worked elsewhere.
Yeah.
You saw it worked at Clemson. You saw it worked at Florida State. You saw it's going on right now at Texas. This was a copycat thing. Even the language in the tweet was almost very similar to what we've seen from a lot of these other players. So you've got that going on one side, awakening of players realizing, if I say something in this forum with the weight of my really good ability, people are going to listen. My coach is going to have to listen. Because on the other side, what you've got is what we're being reminded of is a large portion of college football coaches, and this could be coaches in general, lack a general awareness of the things going on around them, because it's never been incentivized and they've never had to. If a coach is someone who is well-rounded and thoughtful and worldly and compassionate and empathetic, that's a bonus. You're paid a ton of money to win football games.
Yeah.
And if you do it well, you get to stick around places like Oklahoma State as long as Mike Gundy has. The rest of that hasn't been incentivized until now. You haven't been asked to consider the feelings of your players in a way that's really got any sort of meaning, unless it's been on your terms and unless you felt like it, until now, until your job has been threatened, because players have never had that leverage. Social media has given them the ability now to create leverage in that situation, where at the least, because Mike Gundy didn't lose his job. None of these coaches, last I've checked, even Kirk Ferentz, who flirted with it the most closely, didn't lose his job in all this.
Well, Chris Doyle lost his job.
But I'm talking about the coach. I'm talking about the boss in all this. Didn't lose his job in all this. But you're being forced to reckon with a voice that you never had to listen to or consider before. That's the change that's going on.
You're exactly right. And by the way, another current Oklahoma State player Amin Agbamiga, the number one defensive lineman in the draft coming up next year, rated number 9 on Mel Kiper's big board, said, amen, I stand with him, talking about Chuba Hubbard. And then the school also weighed in. State president, Oklahoma State president Burns Hargis said, I hear and respect the concern expressed by our black student athletes. This is a time for unity of purpose to confront racial inequalities and injustice. And then it went on. The athletic director, Oklahoma State's athletic director, Mike Holder, said this afternoon, and these are his words, this afternoon has been very disturbing. The tweet from the current form players are of grave concern. So I guess, look, cool that it seemed to have somewhat of a kumbaya moment in that video, but my question is, what changes are we talking about?
Well, I mean,
what's going to be implemented?
Mike, I think you said it the best, and that needs to be when next time Mike Gundy's in front of the press. That's the question, right? Coach, you said there needs to be change. So what was going wrong here that you feel needs to be changed, you know, and start to explain that?
You're right, because the reaction from the athletic director and the reaction from Mike Gundy, the coach of the team, were largely different in how severe this felt. And I understand for a lot of people saying Chuba Hubbard did need to apologize. He is a young player stepping out and using his voice for the first time in this way, as a lot of these guys are. There's going to be a learning curve in this because it's going to feel wrong because it's been done the other way for so long. And so I look at this, and it's not a sign of weakness or anything that Chuba went about this the way he did. He seems like a good kid who's going about this and realizing how uncomfortable it is when you put yourself out like this. It is going to be impactful, and all these guys are learning that, but I can't imagine it's got to be a very uncomfortable feeling. And so, of course, after the fact, his default is, well, yes, you know, I want to be about change going forward. Yeah. I want to do right by the team because that's the way we've always operated. But what he did was not wrong.
No, it wasn't. And by the way, he actually sent out a subsequent tweet, said, don't get it twisted, foot still on the gas. Change is coming. So we'll see what happens with this continuing story at Oklahoma State. Golic and Wingo is presented by Progressive's Home Insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Coming up, Major League Baseball completely missing the mark when it comes to the 2020 season. We'll get to all of that after this.
Missing the mark.
Hello, this is your apartment. I need some favors from you. Your cat keeps rubbing against the kitchen island and I can't return the favor. Can you give her extra pets for me? After that, could you bundle your renters and car insurance with GEICO? We could save money, and it's easy to do online. And one last thing. Could you leave the TV on during the day? I need to catch up on my soaps.
GEICO. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring 3 advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense. Did we get to where the league said you get 100% prorated?
I was about to say that. You know, I'm glad you said that because it's Golic and Wingo, ESPN Radio, ESPN 2, presented by Progressive Insurance.
Sorry, I just started the conversation.
No, but you're right.
I just heard that. I was like, maybe is that part of the negotiation I missed?
I did not think we had gotten there either.
I think that was the idea for whenever we approach the 48-50 game season that would be imposed on the players without the postseason pool and things like that.
Right.
Part of it was your full pro rata for 48 or 50 games, whatever it ended up being.
So, sure, whatever. The whole thing is Major League Baseball is an abject dumpster fire right now. And it's what everybody's talking about. What everybody's talking about is brought to you by 303 Touchless Sealant. 303 Touchless Sealant for the ultimate protection and shine in no time.
I like welcoming any guests. Hey, welcome in, guests. Your sport stinks.
Yeah, so let's bring in our fine baseball analyst, Mark Teixeira, to talk about the suckage that is Major League Baseball. Mark, thanks for being with us this morning. We appreciate your time. I thought something you said yesterday was very interesting, and it really speaks to the crux of the issue with Major League Baseball. They're not a sport that can afford to do this to themselves, because your kids are enjoying a very good life because of the money you made in Major League Baseball, and as you said, they don't even really care about baseball.
Yeah, guys, it's really unfortunate, and I'm kind of sad. I kind of feel like I'm living in some sort of bizarro world, and we have a situation where everybody in the country is saying, guys, figure it out, compromise, sit down and talk to each other. And both sides refuse to do that. This is not a normal labor negotiation. And like you guys just said, baseball's in a very tough spot. It's a very fragile business right now. And they're killing whatever is left of the goodwill that fans have for the game.
So, Mark, it's tough. I know anytime I talk about football labor relations, it's always tough to not think of the side of the players. I would imagine it's tough for you as well. But now being in the business we're in, we have to try and see both sides. When you look at this situation, how do you see it laying out and why are we here?
Well, I'm trying to be very objective. And right now, you know, I have the ability to sit back as a former player. This is my fourth year out of the game right now. I know plenty of owners. I know plenty of players, obviously. And objectively, there's plenty of blame to go around. I think first from the owner's standpoint, I was on the show with you guys last month, and I said, listen, a 50-50 split of revenue sounds very reasonable, but the owners have to open up their books. And they had still yet to open up their books. And for me, if someone tells me something, I say, prove it. Okay, guys? Prove it that you're going to lose a ton of money. Prove it that the sport isn't cash flow positive every single year and you're really not making a lot of money. And the owners have refused to do that. So that is a big X in the box for the owners, from my standpoint. Now from the players, you haven't negotiated at all. The players said from day one, I want full prorated salaries, which, listen, is a very valid argument, a full day's pay for a full day's work. I get it. But you also have to understand that there is some sort of give and take here and some sort of compromise to get to the place where baseball could actually be played. And the players have just said, nope, I'm not listening to any other negotiation, no proposals. I want full prorated pay no matter what. And so for me, both sides haven't done their job to negotiate in good faith and try to get the season played.
Mark, Buster Olney just tweeted and said the only chance Major League Baseball might have of salvaging the season is if you could get different people negotiating on behalf of either side. Do you think a lot of that has been the players' messaging or the way that Tony Clark specifically has gone about this negotiating on the players' behalf?
Well, I think it's a little bit of everything. And first of all, I completely agree with Buster. They need a marriage counselor right now because the players and the owners are fighting just for the sake of fighting. And they're not thinking about the kids. Think about the kids. So I think we have to understand what happened in March. In this March agreement, the players thought they were getting something. And whether it was Tony Clark and the union, I'm not sure who is responsible from the union standpoint to actually go through the contract language and then explain to the players what they're agreeing to. But there was a miscommunication where players thought they were guaranteed pro rata salaries, and it's kind of been proven now that the union understood there was going to be further negotiation if there were no fans in the stands. So I absolutely agree that the players need to get together independently of their representation and say, all right, guys, what do we really want right now? And do we need to bring in somebody else, whether it's a collection of agents, whether it's a collection of former players, whatever it might be, can we get another group of guys in this room to talk to the owners and try to get a deal done? Because at the end of this, if there's no baseball in 2020, the owners are going to be fine. They have other businesses. They have really big balance sheets. These guys are going to be fine. The players aren't getting paid. The players are risking, you know, their careers. Some careers are going to be ended. Some careers won't even get off of the ground. And so I think it's up to the players to kind of reach out to the owners and say, hey, guys, we're not going to just completely back away from our demands, but we are willing to talk.
Tom Ricketts, the owner of the Cubs, says the losses for him would be biblical.
Yeah.
Okay. As Mark DeShera is with us this morning. So, Mark, let's make you the smartest guy in the world, okay? How do you get past the distrust? Because clearly this is not just about this season. It's about what's coming next, which is after we get through potentially whatever baseball is going to be in 2020. It's about the CBA for the next deal. It's the old line, you can't see the forest through the trees.
Yep.
Can anybody actually focus on this season without looking at what lies ahead?
That's a really good question. I think you have to have the conversation in a little bit of a vacuum this year because it's a completely unprecedented time for baseball and for our country. Let's hope that this global pandemic is not around in 2021 and we can have fans in the stands and have a normal season. But I think one of the reasons that we've had issues negotiating in 2020 is because both sides have looked at it as a typical labor negotiation. It's not. We're in the middle of a pandemic. We're in the middle of 40 million people losing their jobs and over 100,000 people dying in our country. There's a lot of pain, but neither side is willing to share, you know, half of the pain or a small part of the pain. And so I do think that we need to get different people in the room because it's gotten too emotional. There are scars from 2016. I think Major League Baseball players were embarrassed by the deal that they signed in 2016, and they're not going to be embarrassed again.
I completely agree.
I do think that those scars from the last CBA are real, and where, you know, Tim Kirkchin hilariously says the owners got a salary cap and the players got Whole Foods. And that's really what happened in 2016. So the scars from that negotiation are real, and I believe that you need new representation from the player side just for this year. I'm not saying you blow up the entire union. I'm saying put aside your differences and for this year negotiate the best deal possible to get back on the field.
And you're 100% correct, and probably 99% of that won't happen because I agree. I think the players are in a position where we're not losing again like we did in 16. They're going to have that mentality, and certainly the owners have the owner's mentality. So let's say they don't get the different people in there. They just keep going because everybody's ego is involved. Everybody's digging in. We all know how this thing works. If it gets – now the hang-up seems to be because baseball said, hey, tell us when and where and how many games and we'll show up. But we all know the caveat there. As soon as that happens, the players are going to file a grievance saying you didn't negotiate in good faith and we're going to file a grievance for X amount of money. Is there any way in your mind to get actual games played that the league imposes, say, 55 games and the players don't file a grievance and we actually play baseball? Do you think at all that has a chance of happening?
Well, I think there's a small chance, but you hit the nail on the head. This is the big issue, is that if the players are going to sue or file a grievance, then there will not be baseball in 2020. And again, I go back to the owners. Listen, this is on you guys for not opening your books. You talk about this loss. You talk about this is why you had to do it. Just prove it to me. You know, I'm a reasonable guy, but I need to see your books. I need to understand the financial situation of the game, and then maybe I can trust you. But if the players are really going to file a grievance for upwards of $1 billion, then I don't think there's any way that even expanded playoffs could you know, bring in enough money to make them happy. I mean, what amount of money is going to make the players happy if no matter what happens, they're just going to file a grievance and sue the owners? I'm starting. You guys are talking me into there's not going to be any baseball this year. That's really.
Whoa. Let's be clear. We're not advocating for anything. We're just trying to get to the bottom of this, Tex. What are you doing to us?
This is what I would do. And I think there is still a small sliver of hope. If you lock them in a room and say, we're going to play as many games as possible. We're going to let the playoffs move into early November. I don't think the players mind, you know, in New York or Boston or wherever they might be, if it's freezing cold in November, playing games, you know, into the second or third week of November. Expand the playoffs, have a ton more playoff games, and then give a big portion of that revenue back to the players. Just give them something, owners. Players are obviously mad, they're upset, they're embarrassed because of 2016. They're not going to come off of their demands for full salary. So give them a full salary for 60 games or whatever, as many as possible, and then expand the playoffs so we can generate more revenue. I think it'd be a really interesting stretch run in October if you had 16 teams going into the playoffs. And you could also save face to your fans by shaking hands and saying, you know what, we had our disagreements, but we're coming together just like so many different people in our country are coming together right now, trying to make this thing work. And hopefully save face and save some of your fan base.
Boy, that sounds good. It sounds good, and we all hope it happens, Mark, because we all would love to see baseball. I have a feeling we'll be talking to you again. When we are, hopefully it will be about baseball. We will see. Thanks for your time this morning, though.
Anytime,
appreciate
guys.
You, brother.
Wow. It doesn't sound – yeah, not great, Bob.
No.
Not so great. Coming up, the Cowboys are facing a totally different issues with their running backs in two different states. We will get to all of that. Happy times. Glad you're with us. Golic and Wingo, ESPN Radio, ESPN2. Mike Golic Jr., Trey Wingo here. There's a lot of bleep going on in the world right now, in away from sports, in sports, around sports, cross-sectioning with sports. We're dealing with a lot. So sometimes when you're dealing with a lot, you know what you need? You need that one voice, that calming voice, that influence on you that will soothe things for you just in the way they deliver the words.
And we couldn't find one of those, so we got Marcus Spears.
That is somewhat of what I was going, but not really. So sometimes we just needed a little loving from the pastor. So, ladies and gentlemen, we are delighted to be joined on Golic and Wingo this morning by Marcus Spears, our football analyst. Marcus, sometimes people just need a verbal hug with all the things that are going on. Can you give us a little bit of that today?
I absolutely can. First of all, man, it's good to be back with you guys. I've been super busy over the past couple of weeks and watching the show, watching you guys navigate, go through everything that's going on, man. Hell of a job, as always.
Well, thanks, man. Thanks, appreciate that. And, you know, we want to get into some of the specifics of college, but I want to start at an overall thing. For the three of us out of the four, sorry, Trey, that were recruited out of high school to play, you know, big-time college football.
I was recruited to – oh, football.
Yeah,
sorry.
There you go.
I was
no. – I'm wondering, Marcus, you know, given what's going on at all the different colleges where players are starting to speak up, and we have the situation here at Oklahoma State, but others talking about buildings and statues, and we're hearing more talk from players. Going back to when the three of us were recruited, it was like, man, where do we want to go play football? You know, we love the school we want to go to, but, man, let's just go play football. How different do you think it's going to be with the upcoming recruits in the next few years about what they're looking at in specifics at schools? Do you think it really changes?
Yeah, it'll be an effect. And I think a part of it is just the evolution of the athlete. I've been talking about that for a year, and we've had these certain incidents in college football where I think Northwestern was trying to unionize. You had players fighting for name, image, and likeness. The NCAA was on the end of that. And now with everything going on in our society, especially in sports as well, it was a movement already happening before we start dealing with COVID and obviously dealing with the social injustices that's happening around the country. But when you look at everything that's kind of rolled into the transformation of sports in general, especially when it comes to college football, these players are a lot smarter than we was, MG. they have an idea of what's going on beyond the playing field. And, you know, we all can speak to that. And it's not like, you know, we were dummies just roaming around like zombies, but we didn't pay attention to all of the things that were outside of the realm of football like these guys do now. But information for them is so readily available. Parents are making decisions based on how leadership in this particular time. I'm sure parents are having conversations with their sons that are being recruited about how these coaches are responding to racial issues in the country. Obviously, parents are looking at how universities and coaches are handling coming back from COVID-19 in this pandemic. So, yes. And then the name, image, and likeness part of it as well is going to create a shift as far as players possibly going to not so big colleges, because you can sell your name, image, and likeness as much as you possibly can. And we know that a select few players are going to be able to really capitalize off that in a real way. And I honestly believe that doesn't have necessarily a big influence on where you go if you're individually just a superstar. So it's a lot of things transpiring, but I go back to my original. Players just are a lot smarter. They understand more of what they're signing on for, and now they're in a position with what's going on in our streets and in our country right now with how these coaches are responding and standing up for all of the players and majority of the players that don't look like them.
Talking to Marcus Spears with us here on Golic and Wingo. And so, Marcus, we've got that whole awakening going on for the guys as a part of the college game. And in the NFL, we feel like for a lot of people, that moment came 4 years ago with everything that Colin Kaepernick went through. And yet we're still listening to Commissioner Roger Goodell talk about Colin Kaepernick, talk about the prospect of a team signing him. Do you think that there is any possibility that that still happens at this point? And if not, what is Cap's role in all of this going forward?
I think it's a shot in the dark, to be honest with you. And what Roger Goodell said, what Troy Vincent, the vice president, said, is irrelevant to me, because this is about one or a few of 32 owners deciding to sign Colin Kaepernick. He looked pretty good in his last workout we saw, as botched as that was. Of a deal when they decided to put it on. But when you think about being out of the league, just from a football standpoint, when you think about being out of the league this long, it's very difficult for guys to be out of the league 1 year and have an opportunity to come back. I would love to see Colin sign and be able to play and it not be a response to what's going on right now, right? It'll be hard to legitimize it unless he actually went and played in games and had success. That's the way you legitimize it. Or, they saving face. They finally, they say, let's give him a job to make it look good from optics and all of that. So it just depends on what the approach is, if it's a real opportunity or if it's an opportunity to kind of say, hey, look, we got Colin Kaepernick back in the league. I think it's important, man, for these 32 owners to own up and admit that Colin had it right at the point when he was doing it. And it was unpopular, and a lot of people, switched the narrative. But this is exactly what we're dealing with right now, and the awakening of this country is what he was talking about 4 years ago. So I think there's a lot of layers that involved Colin Kaepernick re-signing with a football team. I know for me personally, though, I would like to see it, but I would like to see it be legitimate and him obviously have an opportunity to not only sign with a team, but play if he's ready and if he shows you he's better than the guy that's on your roster or in a second, in a backup role and possibly have an opportunity to play in some games. And that's how I look at it, because now it's cool for everybody to be a part of the protest. And it's cool for everybody to speak out and raise their voice. There's almost a point of none. You don't have to be uncomfortable now to go with saying all of these things need to change and we need to address them. So you have to be really careful on what you're doing. From Is it for the look? Is it to make everybody feel better, or is it a legitimate shot? And that's in a lot of arenas in what's going on in the country right now.
Listen, there is a lot going on, and that's why it's always good to have you come on the show with us and give us your perspective. And it's important for us to listen. Brother, we could have a conversation for an hour and a half, but unfortunately, that's not the way this works. We appreciate your time this morning, and hopefully, we'll talk to you real, real soon. Okay.
All right, my brothers. I'll talk to y'all later, man.
Thanks, guys. Wow. Lots more to get to, including one NFL coach who isn't going anywhere and maybe the one thing he needs to work on. We'll get to that after this.
Did you know Geico's now offering an extra 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies? That's 15% on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Your teenager to help around the house?
Okay, Mom, I emptied the dishwasher, vacuumed the basement, and folded the sheets out of the dryer.
Wait, what?
Oh, and next, I'm going to clean Mitten's litter box.
Are we in some kind of prank show or something? That's a camera, isn't it?
There's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Limitations apply. Visit geico.com for details.
The great thing about facts, they're proven. Like the fact that crude oil contains impurities. or that base oil made from natural gas is 99.5% free of impurities. And the fact that Pennzoil is the first synthetic motor oil made from natural gas, not crude oil. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil. Based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30.
Bingo here on ESPN Radio. Let's get you caught up on a little bit of what is trending. News out of the NFL as Cowboys running back Zeke Elliott tested positive for COVID-19, but is feeling better now. His agent, Rocky Arsenault, told the NFL Network. Elliott, one of multiple players from the Cowboys and Texans who tested positive for the virus, sources have confirmed to ESPN. Neither team publicly confirmed any positive tests, citing privacy laws. The NFL Network was the first to report the positive tests for players in both teams. Quote, due to federal and local privacy laws, we are unable to provide information regarding the health of any of our employees. The Cowboys said in a statement, we're following all CDC, local, and NFL guidelines to keep our facilities safe, including limiting employee access. Elliott tweeted, HIPAA? Then said that his agent was not the one who originally leaked the news to the NFL Network. Meanwhile, the WNBA announces plans for a 22-game season at IMG Academy in Bradenton, Florida. The abbreviated season will begin late July, and the postseason would end in October, according to the league. They're still finalizing an agreement to play the games at the IMG Academy facility and possibly others nearby. Players would be housed at IMG, and teams would hold training camps there as well. The games would be played with no fans in attendance. The WNBA would use its regular playoff format, with the top eight teams making the postseason and the first two rounds being single elimination. The top two seeds would have byes until the semifinals. And going back to the NFL, NFC champion San Francisco 49ers are rewarding their head coach Kyle Shanahan with a new six-year contract that replaces the 3 years he had remaining on his deal and ties him with the Niners through the 2025 season, league sources told ESPN. The contract makes Shanahan one of the NFL's five highest-paid coaches, but what made this deal unique is that it was hardly a protracted negotiation between the 49ers owner Jed York and Shanahan. The two men sat down and quickly figured out what each meant to the other, committing to their second six-year contract in just over 3 years. Shanahan signed his first six-year contract with the Niners in February of 2017. The new six-year deal, completed recently, will entirely replace that one. And that is what's trending and is brought to you by Redbox. Redbox is the top entertainment when you need it most. 12 strangers wake up in the middle of nowhere for one very specific purpose, the hunt. Starring Betty Gilpin and Hilary Swank, visit Redbox.com for all the ways to watch.
All right, Golic and Wingo with you, presented by Progressive Insurance. This is Shower Sessions, part interview, part concert, all from the shower. Grammy winner St. Vincent invites up-and-coming artists to sing, share, and get funky all in the sound booth of their home, the shower. Watch now at YouTube.com/Progressive. So, very good news for Kyle Shanahan. Kudos to him for getting that long-term contract.
I remember when they
extension.
Did that. I mean, they signed him and John Lynch to six-year deals,
right,
saying we got young,
yep,
young GM, young coach. Let's build something here. Already now been to a Super Bowl. Pretty impressive what they've done. So tear it up and let's keep on going. I mean, they're building something incredibly well there, obviously.
They certainly are. And we'll talk to someone in the NFL a little bit later, James Conner. He'll join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line, the Steelers running back. Speaking of running, speaking of football, speaking of Kyle Shanahan, there's no doubt he's a great head coach. There's no doubt he has an amazing running game that he implements. There's no doubt that they have a team that I believe is built for success, even though it took the last play of the last game of the regular season to give them the number one seed in the very competitive NFC West. But here's hoping that the third time might be the charm when it comes to Kyle Shanahan. With a double-digit lead in the fourth quarter of a Super Bowl, let's pound the rock, right? The only thing you could ever make any, really, I mean, I think Kyle's done an amazing job. He's got a foundation for success. He's followed it to a T. But in two very different situations, as the offensive coordinator for the Atlanta Falcons at Super Bowl 51 and in Super Bowl 54, he's had a chance to essentially try and seal a game in the Super Bowl, and he has eschewed the running game for passing plays, and it has come back to haunt him kind of bad twice. And you can make the argument in the last Super Bowl, which seems like a decade ago, by the way, that, you know, hey, the play was open, George Kittle was there, and Chris Jones just batted it down. But there are three possibilities when you throw the football. One, it's completed. Two, it's incomplete. And three, it's intercepted. And they had built their whole foundation on running the rock, and they had just ripped off 8 yards or 7 yards on first down when they needed to grind out some clock.
here's hoping you get in that situation again. We milk that with the running game that you built.
Jimmy Garoppolo just needs to make the throw.
Well, actually, he made the throw.
No,
Chris
he didn't
Jones.
Make the throw. Not, he didn't not make the throw.
Oh, you're yeah. talking about the throw at the deep ball at the end of the game.
I'm talking about the deep ball. I'm talking about the deep ball. There was a play right before that one, too, where
Emmanuel
he could have made
Sanders.
A throw.
Yeah.
Jimmy G needs to make some throws down there, because one thing Kyle Shanahan has done is found the rock to build his church upon in running the football, in 21 personnel, in a way that few others, in a league where almost everyone has gone to multiple wideout shotgun formations, Kyle Shanahan has lived in 21 personnel. He has made the lives of fullbacks in the modern NFL great somehow in all this. He's made great use of tight ends. In 2019, the Niners were in 21 personnel on 20% of offensive plays, highest rate in the NFL. They scored 11 touchdowns out of that formation, highest in the NFL. You go all the way back to his time with the Falcons, certainly in this as well. They were in the top three in the league at that point, I think. His, you know, bottom line is he has done it different than almost every other great coordinator in the NFL. He's done it more on the back of the run game than probably most of those coordinators in modern football. And so I'm going to go ahead and say he's going to be good in his end of the bargain, but he's got to be great to overcome the stain of that one moment in Atlanta.
Well, it's really two. It's, I mean, to, for me,
yeah,
I look at it, it's really two.
And for those really quickly, 21 personnel is two backs and one tight end. Whenever you hear a number, the first number is the backs and second number is tight ends.
Correct.
Just very quickly.
Kyle Shanahan's a firm believer in big boy talk.
Yes, he is.
In big skilled players, tight ends and fullbacks.
Not,
and
a, lot of, not just, a lot of 10 personnel out there.
No. Just wish he wouldn't have done it on third and one with a 28-12 lead in the Super Bowl.
Really hanging on that one.
Well, I mean, it changed the entire dynamic. I mean, let's be clear. All right, lots more coming back. Will Kyrie's Irving threat to stop the NBA's Disney return fall flat? Oh, no.
Oh,
did
boy.
We? Evan.